went on a date with a 95-year-old man. When she came home, her granddaughter said, "Grandma, did you have a good time?" She said, "No, I had to slap him 3 times. She said, "Did he get fresh with you?" She said, "No, I thought he was dead." I want you to let people around you know that you're not dead. Y'all get out and shake hands. I know everything went south today. South, south, south. No. I know. It was your fault. Come on! Oh, happy day when Jesus washed. Oh, when Jesus washed. He washed when Jesus washed. Oh, right, there you go. We'll get there. He taught me how. Come on, sing it. Taught me, oh yes. Yes. I want you right now to say, "Satan, you've already lost." Say it again, "Satan, you've already lost." God is in control. Amen. Go ahead one more time. God is in control. Yes. I know that we're going to have a good service today because Satan has fallen every tooth and toenail all the way. Amen. You're going to watch a PowerPoint that I can't even get small enough for the screen. That's all right. You'll be able to see it. You know what I'm talking about. Satan is a loser. We know it. We're not going to give him an inch. Not an inch. Not an inch. Today you get to use what you learned last week. Matter of fact, look at somebody and say, "What'd you call me?" Tell somebody else, "What'd you call me?" Say, "I'm more than a conqueror." More than a conqueror. More than a conqueror. In Christ Jesus, who bled and died and rose again and is seated at the Father's right hand and is making intercession for me. We are champions in the name of the Lord. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Go ahead and shout one time. Yes, yes, yes. God is awesome. all the time. God is. Amen. Get your Bibles out to Judges. Judges. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. We're gonna ride this puppy. Amen. Satan tries to come in and just do everything he can to ruin a perfectly good worship service. We're not going to let it happen. Amen. Now, that's right. I'm not going to claim it. That's right. Not even going to claim it. Thank you, sister. Judges chapter 6. Stand for the reading of God's Word. Did you ever have one of those days when everything went wrong? Did you ever have one of those days when everything went backwards? Well, the Lord started working with me on this sermon. This was the initial thing I was working with, and I thought it was going to be one sermon. Started with Benoni being the first sermon, and then I can't even do all of Gideon in one service. So next week, I'm going to talk about, I want you to be here, I'm going to talk about God uses leftovers. Have you ever felt like a leftover? A has-been? A wanna-be? A never-was? Oh, come on, y'all. Y'all can do better than that. Have you ever felt like a has-been? A never-was? A wanna-be? Leftover. We're going to find out next week that God has something special in mind for you. Amen. But this week we're going to talk about Gideon. We're going to talk about his call. I was reading this thing, and all of a sudden, the Lord just showed me something I'd really never seen before about Gideon, and it just blew me away. And you might not be able to read every word because it's putting it up in the wrong platform, but that's okay. Linda's not here. She can't show me. Pray for her. Her fibromyalgia is really acting up this morning. And she got up and tried to go, and she lay back down in the bed and said, "Honey, please forgive me." And I said, "It's no problem, dear. You lay right there." And I got this covered. Well, I got it covered so much you can't even see it. All right, Judges, chapter 6, verse 1. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown," somebody say sown, "that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites, and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and destroyed the increase of the earth, till I come in the gaze, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude, for both they and their camels were without number. And they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." Don't you tell somebody, hard times makes you seek God harder. Hard times make you seek God harder. Amen. Now, that's just the opening to the story. Now we're going to talk about the story. Get ready. And that's why I'm wearing blue today. Have you ever had one of those days where you had the moody blues? Here's the moody blues. Amen. Matter of fact, the moody blues, when you're blue, you try to blend into the crowd. You try not to be noticed. You try to kind of hang back. All right, you ever felt like that? Well, we're talking about Gideon. Get ready. And Duke, yeah. "And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, because of the minutes, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drove them out before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not, for the God of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice." In other words, God told them to go forward, and when you go forth in power. And when you go forth, clean house. And they had not gone forth, and they hadn't cleaned house, and so this is what was going on. But here we go, get ready. "And there came an angel of the Lord, and sat under oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Abizurite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress, to hide it from the Midianites." He had the moody blues. "And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, Lord, or the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." Does that sound like what he's doing? Is he looking at the mighty man of valor, or is he looking at the coward? Wow. See, God sees something in you different than you do. And everybody else than what they see in you. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked unto him and said, Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherein shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Somebody sing with me. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom be spared and agony on me. Ah! And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If I found grace in thy sight, thou show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Stretch forth your hands this way. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're alive and well on the throne, Father. And I thank you, God, that you are king. You are in control. And we are not what the world says we are. We're what you say we are. And I thank you for that, Lord. Matter of fact, I'm not what I say I am. I'm what you say I am, Father. And I thank you for that. I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, anoint us, Father. And Lord, if there be anybody here this day, Lord, that needs a very special touch from you, I ask you, Lord, to minister mightily. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, Amen. You can be seated on the way down. Tell somebody the past is behind us. The future is ahead of us. God is with us. And that settles it. Amen. That settles it. Amen. Now, we started last week. Now, next week, I told you, next week is going to be called God Uses Leftovers. Amen. But this week, we're going to start with this one. Now, you got your Bible. Get here. You want to watch this now, because anybody ever took any counseling classes? Counseling classes. Yeah. Some of y'all have ever studied psychology. You're getting ready to see a perfect picture type of a certain condition that we're getting ready to show you right now. Amen. But let me just start right here. Look. What'd you call me? See, he says, I will praise thee for I'm fearfully. This is from last week. There's a few slides just to throw it up so you can remember where we're at last week. I will praise thee for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Psalm 139:14. You are not average. You are not ordinary. You are one of a kind. How many know that? The fingerprints of God are on each one of us. Amen? You're not ordinary. You're one of a kind. Look at this man sound one of a kind. I saw a spouse look over at her husband and say, I thank God for that. All right. So watch this now. I will praise thee for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. My soul knows what I do. I am not what others say I am. I am what my Father says I am. Y'all say that with me. I'm not what others say I am. I am what my Father says I am. One more time. I'm not what others say I am. Some of y'all come in here this morning and you've heard it already on the telephone. You heard it from somebody else talk you down, chew you up, spit you out and say whatever. And I'm here to tell you, you are not what others say you are. You are what God says you are. Go ahead. Yeah, we're what God says we are. So it's not what they call me, it's what I answer to. Remember this, it's not what they call you. And forgive me for this thing getting crazy, but it's all right. It'll be all right. We'll just get some up chopped up. All right? Now, it was harvest time. Give you a little background here. Harvest time. It was a time of reaping from all their hard work, restoration, because they were going to refill what had been lost out during the year. They were going to replenish the stuff that they used to get through the year. So it was a time of refill, but it was also a time of reservation because they were going to put some away for hard times. They were going to put some away to prepare just in case they miscalculated how much they were going to need. So this is harvest time. Not only did the people eat, the animals eat. That's how they fed their livestock was their John Deere's, their harvesters. So they had to feed them too. And what did the enemy want? The same thing he wants from us. He wants to steal what he didn't work for. He wants to kill our chance to restore. And he wants to destroy our hope for tomorrow. Oh, come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Thank God. This is what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to steal what he didn't work for. Jesus Christ bled and died for us. We are his. We are not our own. But Satan wants to take what he did not work for and use it for his advantage. He wants to kill a chance for us to restore ourselves, to walk around impoverished and walk around depleted all the time. Our spirit of joy is gone because Satan has come in and took what didn't belong to him, and he wants to destroy our hope for tomorrow. Amen? So now here it is, Gideon. You know what Gideon? Gideon means warrior. Did you know that? Gideon means warrior. But guess what? You weren't acting like a warrior. Gideon means not only warrior, it means feller, which means to cut down, to take down, take, cut down, and pull up by the roots. He was called to be a very mighty man. Mighty. So here's Gideon. His name is warrior. That is his God-given name. And here it is, remember, Benoni, you're not going to call my son the son of sorrows, we're going to call him Benjamin, the son of my right hand. Well, watch what his name was here in this story. Gideon actually, go ahead, brother. Gideon was acting like a coward. Now, why was he acting like a coward? I'm going to tell you, this is if you look up and you can look it up, it's right there. You know what Gideon was? Gideon had changed his name from warrior, get ready, to victim. From warrior to victim. There's people in here right now under the sound of my voice. God has called you to be a warrior. But not only has he killed, steal, and destroy, he did those in your life, he has taken away that warrior spirit, that warrior attitude. You know, out of all the things in this life you can control, you know there's only one thing you can control 100% of the time. Did you know that? There's only one thing every last one of us can control 100% of the time. One thing. It's not our spouse. It's not our children. It's not our job. It's not our boss. There's one thing every last one of us can control 100% of the time. You know what it is? Your attitude. Let it sink in. The only thing that you can control 100% of the time is your attitude. Your attitude can lead you. Your attitude can also block you. Gideon's attitude was blocking him because Gideon saw himself as a victim. Watch this. We're going to talk about the victim mentality. Watch this. There may be somebody here who's got it right now. Maybe you haven't even showed it, or maybe nobody knows it. Maybe only you know it, or you know somebody that's got this kind of attitude. Go ahead, bro. Here it is. Life is a constant struggle. There's always turmoil in your life. It's always someone else's fault. Get ready. Victory's never within reach. They get locked into a negative attitude. They withdraw to avoid pain. And they believe that this is all there is. They got a negative attitude and a negative faith. Let's watch Gideon here. Watch this. This is what we just read. Number one. And came an angel of the Lord and said unto Oak, which is Ophrah, that pertained to Joash, to Abiezer, right, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the rime press to hide it from the Midianites. He was disengaged. He withdrew. See there? He withdrew. He pulled himself out of the situation. Then the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, "The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor." He's disillusioned. He don't believe that. I'm a mighty man of valor. Look at me. I'm hiding. I may have been a mighty man of valor, but look at me now. I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. I've been hit. I've been hit below the bucket. I mean, below the belt. I've been kicked hard. I've been strung out, and I just don't know how to get back up on my feet. And so I'm just going to withdraw, and I'm disillusioned in even who I am. He said, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, and why has this befallen us, and why happened all the miracles that our fathers told us of, seeing that the Lord bring us up here, has the Lord forsaken us and delivered us?" Hit it again, bro. Oh, it's just hid. It's hid from me. Praise God. Again, it's missed me. So there was distrust. He had a negative faith, a distrust. And then the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in thy might, this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee?" No. Now he's discouraged. Look at all these things we just talked about. Now is he discouraged? And the Lord said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Now he's got disregard because now he has low self-esteem and low self-worth. Again, a negative attitude and a negative faith, and he wants to withdraw. Again, here it is. Here is the victim mentality. And then the Lord said unto him, "Surely I will be with thee, thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." And he said unto him, "If now you have found grace in thy sight, thou show me a sign that thou talkest to me." He's even got disbelief going on. Again, a negative faith, a negative attitude. He's already blaming everybody else. My fathers, you did it for my fathers. Why aren't you doing it for us? And look at all these guys. We're trying to work, and these guys are taking our stuff. He's blaming somebody else. All this stuff in victim mentality is here with Gideon. A mighty warrior shut down. Y'all say that with me. A mighty warrior shut down. One more time. A mighty warrior shut down. That's what Satan wants to do to every last one of us, because every person in this church has been called to be a mighty warrior. Every person in this church has been called. Amen. Is this thing? Yes. Yeah, is this on? Okay. Mighty warrior. Mighty warrior. Mighty. Look at somebody and say, "You're called to be a mighty warrior." Okay, so now watch this. Victim mentality. We're going to go back to victim mentality. Then we're going to get out of it. Don't y'all want to get out of it? First, you resort to the blame game. And it's not my fault. I know who I'm like I was, and look at what I could have done, but it's not my fault. Man, I could have done this, but I was overlooked for my promotion. I could have done this, but they forgot my name. And I could have done this and this and this and this. It's always somebody else's reason and fault why I'm like I am. That's a victim mentality. Number two, it suffocates you. It will suffocate you. Anybody ever seen somebody suffocating? Have you ever suffocated before? You even get a thought of it. Take your fingers and hold your nose and hold your mouth and just wait for a few seconds. Let's all try it. I'll do it with you. Ready? That was terrible, weren't it? I saw a few people do it to their spouse. I won't mention any names. Jeannie. Look, suffocate. A person that suffocates. Do you know you can tell if a person was dead before they go in the water? Because you can tell if somebody goes in the water and drowns, there's no... You know when a person drowns, you know what they actually die of? Suffocation. Wow. Everything shuts off. Your body's trying to prepare. It shuts off. So watch this. It's easier to remain a victim than break the cycle and move forward. Why is it easier? Because it's so much easier to blame somebody else. Somebody say, "Well, why aren't you stepping back up to the plate? Why aren't you trying to step up and be that warrior? Why aren't you trying?" You go, "Well, if they hadn't done this, you know, so from here on out, the reason I'm not doing this is because of them." So the rest of your life, it's always because of them. Them don't control my life. One more time. Them don't control my life. Them did not call me. Them did not lift me up. Them didn't lift me up out of the miry clay. Them didn't put a call in my heart. Them didn't pick me up and say, "Praise me." God did. Praise the Lamb of God. They may have started something, but they don't have to finish it. God is the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise God. Yes. So, watch this. Here's that victim mentality. Just want to stay stuck. You know what? Instead of being suffocated by the victim mentality, let's suffocate the victim mentality. You know what? You know, if you can't beat them down, you hold their breath long enough, they're going to go down. You know, I was 17 years old. I was in McDonald's one night. There was a guy that was about my age, a little bit younger. He said he had a black belt in karate. I didn't believe him. We're sitting there in McDonald's on a Friday night. Place is packed. He said, I can put you out in 5 seconds. I was bigger than he was. I said, you can't do that. He said, yes, I can. I said, I dare you. Right here in front of all these people. He came up behind me, and he put his arm here, and he put his arm here and locked him, and pulled in and shut it off right here. Here. All of a sudden, I'm saying, you can't do. And here I am in front of all my friends laying on my back. You know, if you're going to put out a fire, you're suffocated. If you're going to have something coming at you, you're suffocated. So watch this. God was about to bring change in his life. He was going to move him from victim to victor. How many want to be from victim to victor? He moved him from victim to victor, but watch this. Watch. How? God didn't coddle him. There, poor child. I know you've had it rough. And I know it's their fault. I'm going to get them. You just stay there. And you just stay down. I'll get them for the rest of your life. Every time they want to do something, I'll stop them because they stopped you. And because you're losing your productivity for the rest of your life, I'm going to just beat them up for the rest of their life. Would that make you feel better? Moody blues. God didn't coddle him. God challenged him. Your faith needs to be challenged. Everybody in here, when you get put in situations over your head, get put in situations that you don't even know any way you're going to get out of it, when you get a situation where it seems like three strikes and you're out, and you get over that third strike, and you say, God, what are you trying to do? He is trying not to coddle you. He is trying to challenge your faith. Because when your faith is challenged, then you will grow. I don't want to remain stagnant for the rest of my life. So here it is. Here's the three challenges. These are awesome challenges, and they're right here in the Word of God, right here in the same verses that talk about him being a victim. Ready? Y'all get ready. Look at somebody and say, take the steel toes off. Take the steel toes off. Why? Because, you know what? I went with my wife. She was getting a pedicure. She said, go ahead, honey. Let's get one together. And I said, well, people might go by and see me up in this chair. And she said, oh, come on, Brother Billy does it. He does it with his wife. And Brother Burton did it with his wife. And they're great men of God. I said, yes. She said, well, come on. I said, okay. And so I'm up here sitting in his chair. And this guy's looking at me, don't even speak my language. And he cuts it to the quick. And next thing I know, he's yanking the quick out. They said he was Vietnamese. I started to do some Vietnamese nunchucks on him. And he go, I'm sorry. And I go, yeah, you can't do it either, can you? No. And he stuffed something down there in it and then put some medicine on it. And you know what? That was 2 months ago. My toe is still sore. You know what? So you know what? I hope today that some of y'all walk out here going, oh man, my feet are sore. Man, because you know what? Because once the soreness wears away, you're going to have something different in your life. Number one, he told him, watch this, the first challenge was to change his perspective. He said, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Whoa, that is not what you're seeing. It's not what you're seeing. It's what God sees. Remember, it's always what God sees. Y'all read this. I want you to see something here. I can't even read all of that. Before I formed you in your mother's womb, I chose you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you to be a prophet to the nations. I answered, O Lord my God, I really do not know how to speak well enough for that, for I am too young. The Lord said unto me, do not say I'm too young, but go to whoever I send you and say whatever I tell you. Do not be afraid of those whom I send you, for I will be with you to protect you, says the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Jeremiah was a prophet. Jeremiah was having a hard time. Jeremiah, he had low self-esteem. He had low self-worth. And God told him, you are mine, you have a mission, and you have my mighty presence. You are mine, you have a mission, and you have my mighty presence. In here right now, I want everybody to say, I am his, I'm his, I have a mission, and I have his mighty presence. One more time. I am his, I have a mission, and I have his mighty presence. Oh, y'all sound like you almost believe it. I am his, I have a mission, and I have his mighty presence. Now watch this. I love this. So here it is. You are mine. You have a mission. You have my mighty presence. But God, if I had been born somebody other than a Linton, or God, if I could actually just do whatever, you know what? God's not limited by your circumstances. He's not limited by your background, your education, your relationships. You say, well, how can I say that? I'm getting ready to show you. God is not limited by your background, your education, your relationships. Why? Watch this. Get ready. Don't hit it yet. Oh, that's good. Leave right there. How many here can point to your parents? Point to them. Okay. You point to your parents. How many here can think about your parents? If you can think about your parents, just raise your hand. Okay. Now for the longest time, I just believed. Here's how I thought. I came from my parents. I came from them. How many here believe you came from your parents? Yeah. I mean, you can look at Daniel and tell he came from me. Amen. But the Lord started dealing with me in this scripture. And as he began to deal with me through the scripture, something special popped out. He was telling Jeremiah, you came through your parents, but you came from me. Woo! Oh, come on, y'all. That ought to make you a shout. I came from my parents. I came from David G. Linton and Phyllis Jean Linton. Praise God. They're two wonderful people, and I thank God for them. But you know what? I didn't come from them. I came through them. I came from God. Hallelujah. You came from God. You came from God. You were his, and you have a mission, and you got his mighty presence. So now watch this. He ordains you before you were born. So if he ordained you before you were born, before your circumstances, then don't blame your circumstances for stopping you. Oh, come on. I'm telling you, that's good stuff right there. I could stop right there. We'd be fine. We want to blame somebody else all the time for something else. We want to say, I can never get out of this mess. I'm too tall. I'm too short. I can't remember the years. I was going to tell you more about the story, but it's in my mind. I need to tell you about it. They ate very poorly. He developed the rickets. At 2 years old, he couldn't even go to the doctor to get the rickets fixed. He was pigeon-toed and his legs were bowed like this. His mama had somebody make a brace. And he wore them during the day. So it would try to keep his legs from being so pigeon-toed. By the time he was 5, it got so bad his mama had to make homemade braces to put on his legs because they were so bowed. His mama said, we ain't going down like this. The boy, as he grew, and as his mama did the stuff right for him, the homemade stuff, tried to fix him up, he got with the wrong crowd and wound up in jail. So here he is, he got leg problems, and he got jail problems. And God began to work on that young man because he refused to stay down. He refused to stay down because of his legs, and he refused to stay down because of his record. That man wound up breaking, I think it was USC, broke all of USC's records. And he wound up winning the Heisman Trophy. He was the first man to ever in the NFL to ever rush for 2,000 yards in a season. He had a very bad last couple of years, but up until this point, think about the legacy he left to my O.J. Simpson. Wow. Could not even walk. And you know what his name was, nickname? Do I know it? The Juice. Now you say, well, I got something wrong with me. Well, let me ask you a question. Did your mama have to make you some pieces of pipe to put by your leg and strap to your leg? Wow. You can go on and on. I was watching a thing about FDR the other night. You know, FDR would never let the public see him in his wheelchair. Some folks never even knew he was in a wheelchair because he never showed it. Even wherever he was at, he would get his guys beside him and he would lock his braces and he would stand up with guys beside him on each side and he would always walk to the podium. No wheelchair. As soon as it was over, he would collapse in that chair and wouldn't be able to walk for a while. But you know what? He said, my past is not going to hold me down. My present is not going to hold me down. I got a job to do, and I'm going to do it right, and I'm going to do it well. And the man was elected 4 times as president of the United States. Let me tell you something. People, don't listen. I came through my parents, but I came from God. God's got something special for you. He ordained before you were ever born. So watch this. Here we go. Number two. Number one, he had to change his perspective. I am not a coward. I'm a warrior. Number two, the second challenge was he had to challenge his outlook. Verse 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go this in thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent thee? I can see this now. Lord, don't you see where I'm at? I'm hid. I'm hid. My family's the poorest, and I'm the poorest of the poor. I'm the run of the bunch. In high school, I was elected most likely not to succeed. I cannot do it. And God says, I want you to change your outlook. Yes, things may look bad, but look, let me ask a question. Well, again, look at somebody and say, what'd you call me? From here on out, I want you to call yourself a warrior. I am a warrior. Not warrior, warrior. Okay, so watch this. Change his outlook. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, the Amplified says, God himself has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not. Whenever in the Greek they wanted to stress a point, they would say it 2 and 3 times. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. So we will take comforting and be encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear, dread, or be terrified what man can do to me. In other words, quit saying it's their fault. When it's always their fault, then they have got the upper hand on you. They're in control. Don't go to somebody and say, I used to do it at the fountain all the time. I go up and say, they be fussing and they be cussing. I mean, they'd be tearing loose. I mean, they would use some words that I believe some of the sailors come in that wouldn't hear. And they get through, they'd be sitting there looking at me, and I got the notebook in my hand, clipboard, getting ready to work on a problem. I go to them, and they're just, it's their fault, and it's their fault, and it's their fault, and blah, 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 blah. Here's what I always do. Are you finished? Are you finished? Then they keep on saying, well, quit holding back. Tell me how you really feel. And now I go, one more time, are you finished? And they'd come down and say, why? I says, because if you're finished letting your emotions get the best of you, we'll fix this problem. It can be fixed if you'll get your head in the game. And I'd watch them every time. They would just calm right on down, and we'd fix the problem, and they'd walk off, and they'd be smiling instead of doing their little blame game all over the place. Let me tell you something. God's with you. He said, I'm not going to leave you, and I'm not going to forsake you. I'm going to be there for my presence. You're going to know that my presence is there, whether you feel it or not. And I'm not going to leave you physically, and I'm not going to leave you emotionally. I'm going to be there. I will not forsake thee. I will be there. Then the third challenge, get ready to close. Change. The first challenge was to change his perspective. The second was to change his outlook. God's called us. He said he's going to be here. No matter what happened, he's still here. Do you know, I was riding down the road the other day in Greenville. How many love Greenville traffic? It's a $100 town with $1,000 traffic. Especially when college is in, because you see all these license plates from all over the place. And I don't think any of them ever drove in the city before. Everybody that goes to ECU must have come from the country. Far away country, because they don't know how to drive. Have you ever noticed the real slow ones are always in front of you and the real fast ones are always behind you? Okay. We're on the same page. I'm riding along and I'm saying, Lord, you got this. Yeah, Lord, you got it. And that was the first stoplight, the first time it changed. Yeah, you got it, Lord. The stoplight went again, and the person in front's going. And the light changed again. And I said, you got this, Lord. You got it. They finally took off and go to the next stoplight. And the second time through the second stoplight, and the person in front of me going, and by this time, I'm losing it. I'm losing it. Daniel said, no, it's the first time, not the second time. I don't know what Daniel was telling me. Yeah. I tell you what I did to Daniel D.C. one day. I'd been trying to put my mirror on my van, my rearview mirror, and every time I'd tighten it down, it'd pop it loose. So I weren't tightening it down, so I had this little thing up, and I had the mirror just pushed in. So nobody knew that it weren't tight, or it weren't hooked up. And so D.C. and Daniel are in the back, and their mom was in the front, and they're all telling me where to go. The traffic's bad. We're trying to get somewhere, and Daniel's going this way, and D.C.'s going this way, and Beverly's going this way. And so I just reached right up and grabbed that mirror. They didn't know it was not connected. I grabbed it and said, here, y'all figure out where we're going. That was a funny day for one of us. All right. All right. And so I'm riding through town. And as I'm riding through town, I said, all right, Lord, I tried to be patient. I tried to be kind. But if you give me a laser, I'd take care of that person on that cell phone. Matter of fact, God, if you give me a bull thing on the front, I'll just clear a path and for everybody behind me. All the fast ones are behind me. They're tooting my horn at me. And I'm just losing it. And I turn on the radio and the preacher says, have you ever rode through heavy traffic? I kid you not. And I said, right now. And he said, have you ever lost your cool while you're riding in there? And I was going. And then I'm not kidding, I started looking at my car for a camera. And it says, if it ever made you just lose what you were trying to say and you weren't sounding quite like you were a Christian or a preacher, and I went, oh God, where's that camera? This was a couple weeks ago. And so I'm riding down, and I said, okay, Lord, okay. And then he said, it was so cool because the preacher said the same thing I'm saying to you. He said, some of those people don't even know they're in front of you. Don't even know you're there. They don't even know who you are. And you're letting them take your power. And I said, yes, Lord. And I rode through a bunch more stoplights several times. When I finally got past the girl on the cell phone, I went. I asked how I wanted to go. Or pull over. No, I didn't. Okay. So now, also changes conviction. Now, this is another thing I was looking at. This is pretty cool. The Bible tells us in more than one place, matter of fact, there's a bunch of places in the Psalms and also in the book of Acts, that David said that the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. Of course, he's talking about Jesus and God, the Father talking to him. Now, I was reading that and I said, well, Lord, that is just sticking hard in my spirit right now. So talk to me. It's just you talking to your son, but put us, relate us in it, because it's perfect for right here. Relate us in it. And then I got reading a little further and I got reading some other translations. And in the Arabic. The Arabic Bible, it says, sit at my right hand of power until I make, watch this, until I put your enemies under your feet. Whew. Jesus said, or in the Garden of Eden, the promise was, you're going to bruise his heel, but he's going to crush your head. enemy under his feet. So what's a footstool? When I'm tired and my legs are tired, my feet are tired, and I come home, and I just want to put my feet up on a footstool. When my feet are up on that footstool, it's a place of rest. Matter of fact, some of the translations say, until I make your enemies your footstool / place of rest. Wow. And I said, that's awesome, Lord. But bring it to us. Show us. Show me now, Lord. And then I turn to Romans 16 and 20. And the Bible says, and the God of peace, rest, shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Wow. So, we're heirs and joint heirs with Christ. So because of the cross, the Father's talking about the cross. I'm going to bruise him under I'm going to make your enemies your footstool. I'm going to put them under your feet and put you to a place of rest at the Father's right hand. It's also a place of power. Then I think about this in our own life. It's a place of peace because of his presence. It's a place of his power, a place of rest because of his power. Stand still. See the salvation of the Lord. If we'll let him, the Bible says that Satan will come at us. He'll come at us all different ways and all different avenues. But Jesus said, I beheld Satan fall from heaven as lightning. I was there. I saw it. And I give you power over him. The same way, remember, the next time Satan's trying to ride your shoulder and talk junk to you and try to ruin your relationships with people, try to ruin your relationships at work, trying to ruin your perspective, to ruin what you think about yourself, what others think about you and all that stuff, when he's playing in your mind, say, watch this. How about you get off my shoulder and get under my feet? Yeah! Get off my shoulder and get under my feet. That doesn't say he's not powerful. It's not saying that he doesn't have any power and he is not. He's powerful. He's a powerful enemy. But in God, he said, I'll bruise him under your feet shortly. And there's all kinds of versions of that, but the saying is, watch this. Didn't say he wouldn't come back. Didn't say he wouldn't strike back. But when he strikes you, what he's saying is God will come to your rescue speedily and Satan will go down shortly. So whenever you are under attack, if you will not let him ride that shoulder, if you realize he's under that feet, God will rise up and show you victories. Here's the victor mentality. Guys, y'all come on up here. Here's the victor mentality. I love it. Hello, my name is Victor. Somebody shake their hand and say, my name is Victor. Don't seek blame, seek answers. When I went to Fountain Power Boats, the year I got there, there was 700 complaints that first year. And when they gave me corrective action manager said, here, have at it. And so I took them and I just started asking people things and everybody was blaming somebody else. It was always just their fault. Because if they admitted they messed up, they got fired. So their fault. And so, first thing I did was I took the 700 problems and I categorized them. Boom, boom, boom. After I categorized them, so then I had a bigger handle of what was going on. Then after I categorized them, then I prioritized them. This is going to help some of y'all in your own life right now. I categorized them, then I prioritized them. And after I prioritized them, then I started going to each department and I found the one with the most knowledge on that problem. And I assured them, you're not going down if you help me. We're going to go up together. And I said, just to show you, whenever I make an engineering request to change something, your name will be on it. They didn't believe me. And pretty soon, I started bringing their engineering request around. And I said, see, you said we need to change the direction of this or that. And I said, look at there, your name's right there. you've done engineering requests. I went, wow, I'm getting credit for something. I said, not only that, when your answer saves us money, they got a picture put up on the wall getting a crisp $100 bill from Wyatt Fountain, thanking them for their idea. It was so amazing because we went from nobody wanting to work together into the first year. People started flooding to me. They used to run from me. They started flooding to me. The next year, it's God, not David. It's God. The first year there was between 700 and 800. The second year, there was 100. Wow. And the company has saved several million dollars because they got rid of the blame game, the victim mentality. They categorized the problems, they prioritized how to do it, and then they got to the right people to fix it. You know what? Don't seek blame, seek answers. Don't dwell on your problems, dwell on solutions. Not only that, but take personal responsibility. Quit saying it's somebody else's fault. Take personal responsibility. I may not have done it, but I'll jump on it. Yes, I'll jump on it. And finally, when you do all this, you're going to suffocate that victim mentality. Your name's going to be Victor. When the king came into a land and he destroyed the land, he would take the other king and bound him in shackles, take off his shoes, rip off his robe and his hat or his crown, and he would pull him behind his horse when he came into town, his town, and took all the soldiers, took off their shoes, chained them, took away all their armor, and then took all the spoil and put behind it. And so when he came into his town victorious, when he marched through town with a defeated enemy, a defeated king, a defeated enemy, and the spoil behind him. If you look at this next verse, that's what it's talking about. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and make manifest the savor of his knowledge by us into every place." Didn't say you weren't going to have to fight. Didn't say that you were not going to have to go into battle. What he says is, every time. That's what always means, doesn't it? Every time. Every time you're in conflict, if you let me, him, not me, let him, he'll take you through victorious. And that word always causes triumph in Christ is talking about the victory parade. With the king behind you, shoeless, crownless, robeless, a chain around his neck, the soldiers the same way, and the spoil behind. Let me ask you a question. Isn't the way you want to live? I'm going to have to fight. Yeah, every day of our life we got to fight. Just this morning, I couldn't believe it. All the things that could absolutely, everything. I'm not going to say that because I didn't want to give the devil any credit. But it seemed like at the time anything that could go wrong was going wrong, including I have a PowerPoint. You can't even read all of it. And I said, Lord, I need your help. And here's what he asked me. How are you going to handle it? You're talking about victim and victor. How are you going to handle it as a victim? Are you going to handle it as a victor? I said, victor, Lord. Oh. Wow. Things changed. Oh, we still had problems, but things changed. The only thing you got 100% control over in your entire life is your attitude. The only thing. Let's all stand. Satan, usually before he can get you in any other direction, before he can tie you down with strongholds, before he can get you muzzled into some other arena and get you tied down, the very first thing he seeks to do in your life is to make you a victim. Because if he can make you a victim, then there you go. You got an excuse for any kind of behavior that you do. Well, I'm this way because of that. I'm this way because of that. If you, look. I've had people say, look what you made me do. No, I didn't make you do that. I didn't. God doesn't want us to be victims. God wants us victors. So remember, the very first thing Satan would do is to get you into a victim mentality. I refuse to be a victim. I refuse to be a victim. Y'all say that. I refuse to be a victim. Say it. I refuse to be a victim. Raise both hands and say it. I refuse to be a victim. One more time. I refuse to be a victim. Now, I want y'all all start making your way up here. They're going to switch directions in music, and they're actually going to throw down, have some throwdown, good old throwdown music coming up in just about 10 seconds. But I want you to start making your way up here. You got to pray for something. You ain't got to pray for anything. I want you, if you ain't got a prayer, I want you to come and stand around the altar. And if you got a prayer, I want you to come kneel at the altar. I want everybody at will to come to this altar. If you ain't got a prayer, just come stand. We're getting ready to have some throwdown. I refuse to be a victim. Do you know, here was Gideon hiding, and in a matter of a couple of days, they were trying to make him king? Whoa! Whoa! What happened? Gideon went from victim to victor. They even tried to make the man king. Wow! Go ahead, fellas. Let it rip. Enemy's camp. You ready? Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I want y'all to say this. I refuse. Say it. I refuse to be a victim. I am not a victim of my circumstance. Say it. I am not a victim of my circumstance. I'm a victor in God. Say it. I'm a victor in God. I'm a victor in God. Now come on. Let's get it. Took back what he stole from me. Come on. Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Yes, yes! I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. Come on, sing it! Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Come on! Went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Oh, hallelujah! I can almost hear some of y'all singing. Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Do you want your peace back? Don't blame somebody else. Claim to the promises of God. Yes, yes. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Yes! Took back what he stole from me. Look what the Lord has done. Went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. Oh, yes! He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet.
Look what the Lord has done.
Come on!
Look what the Lord has done.
Has he done something for you?
He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. It was just in time. I'm going to praise his name.
Yes! Come on!
Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done.
One more time! You're getting there.
Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. It was just in time. I'm gonna praise his name.
Yes, yes.
Come on and praise him. Look what the Lord has done.
Yeah! Come on, y'all. I'm not a victim of my circumstance. I'm an overcomer in my circumstance. Praise the Lamb of God. Come on, somebody. I'm not a victim of my circumstance. I'm an overcomer through my circumstance. Woo! Yes. Yes.
Praise God, praise God, praise God. This week, when you get on your mind and start saying if this person or that organization or whoever, if it weren't for them, I wouldn't be here. You just go, God, God, you knew before I was born these circumstances were coming. I didn't come from my parents. I came through my parents. I came from you. And because I came from you, Lord, you already knew that. You already had that calculated, built in. I mean, you've seen little computer chips and stuff, and when they're doing simulators, when they're flying planes and doing battlefield with their tanks or whatever, the real guys, I'm not talking about games, I'm talking about the real thing. These guys are training in simulators. When the Apollo astronauts, when Apollo 13 went up, they had the same thing on the ground that they had up in the air. And you would say, because one of the astronauts, they thought he'd been exposed to measles and said that he couldn't go up. He said, wow, I wanted to go to the moon. But they left him down here. And as they went down, left him down here, I can't think of his name, but as they left him down here, and Apollo had his problem, said, Houston, we got a problem. You know who fixed it? That astronaut that was a victim of his circumstance. He couldn't go up, and so because he couldn't go up, he was actually having a bad time. And he wound up going in the Apollo simulator because they had simulated every problem but this one. And so he gets into the simulator, and he had to keep dropping down the amperage and the wattage in the lunar module. And you know what he fixed it with? Duct tape! All right! But he fixed it with duct tape. But see, if he'd have been up circling or thought he was circling the moon, they'd have died. Because he was the man with the answer. And so God, he didn't even have mumps or measles. But he wound up down below, and the guys that went up, some of those guys were sick. He was the well one. He said, well, God, I don't understand. I wanted to go to the moon. And you got me grounded. And God said, you ain't grounded. I got something for you. And so that young man, I can't think of his name right now, but not only did he save them, but he went back to the moon himself later. I think he even served in Congress. But it's amazing. So amazing. What you think is being grounded. I told somebody just the other day that said, I don't understand the circumstance I'm in. And I said, you need to ask God, is it a red light or is it a yellow light? It was a yellow light to get you to slow down because this intersection is going to be dangerous. It was a red light, there's a train coming, he wants you to stop. Ask God which it is. Our God took all that into account when he made you before you ever were a glistening in your daddy's eye. Woo!
who my Father says I am. Circumstance does not change him. God's already got it handled. In the name of Jesus. Come back tonight looking for something special. And remember, this week coming up, you tell the devil, I'm not a victim. I'm a victor. And when he's talking in that ear, say, hey, dude, you took the wrong elevator. The elevator, you're supposed to be going down. Get up under my foot. Get up under my foot. I remember one day I did this. I really did. It wore off. But I wrote Satan under my shoe. So I can remember Satan was under my feet. Of course, when I went to go get buy some more shoes, somebody saw it. The shoe person saw it when I took it off and said, are these your shoes? He says, is this your name? And I said, no, I'm not Satan. Amen. I just had Satan under my feet. Amen. Brother Steve, dismiss us in prayer, please. Thank you.